Bruchim Abom, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night's Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bamidbar. Today's date is Chof Ches Iyar Tovshin Pei Aleph, corresponding to the English calendar, May 10th, 2021. This coming week is special in many ways. Number one, Tuesday night is Rish Chodesh to Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, there's also no Tachnun. That's for the whole period until after Shavuos. It's called Yom HaMiyuchas, special day. That's when the Jewish people were told by Hashem that we will become an Am Segula, a treasured nation, and therefore, after Rosh Chodesh, it would be Beis and Gimel Sivan, were special, and then following Dalad Hey and Vav is already Shlosh Shemei Hagbala. Actually, it's really before. It's Gimel, Dalad, and Hey. Vav is already a Yom Tov. So it's very special. Shlosh Shemei Hagbala would already start. Well, during the Shlosh Yimei HaGbala, you would be able to take a haircut and listen to music. And therefore, during the Shlosh Yimei HaGbala, it's like already part, it's like Erev Yontif, and it's a happy time in the month of Sivan. Parshas Bamidbar always falls out before the holiday of Shavuos. It's always there to usher in the holiday of Shavuos with a very important message. What's the message? My Rosh Yeshiva, Chaim Dov Keller, quotes a medrash in his Sefer Chideko, and I'll read it to you, very famous medrash. The medrash says, Dover Acher, V'yedaber Hashem al Moshe, beginning, this is the first pasuk of Parshas Bamidbar, V'yedaber Hashem al Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai, and Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai, B'oihel Moed, Be'echel HaChodesh HaSheni, it was in the Oihel Moed, in the sanctuary, to the second month, in the second year, the Tzeisim Eretz Mitzrayim, with them going out of Mitzrayim Lamor. The Parsha talks mainly about counting the Jewish people, setting them up with the Golem, with flags. However, the Medrash, as I'm quoting you now, it says a little different than where we're reading the Parsha. The Medrash says the following. What was the necessity for the Pasuk to mention Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai? They knew they were b'midbar Sinai. They were there the whole time. Why was it necessary to mention b'midbar Sinai? Says the Medrash. Kol mi she'eino oisa atzma k'midbar hefker. Whoever doesn't make himself like a hefkedik or midbar, like public, simple, humble, modest. Can't have the privilege of being kaina, acquiring the chachma and the Torah. So what does this mean? It's an interesting medrash. The reason why it says the word b'midbar Sinai, even though they knew they were there, we're trying to tell, the Midrash was trying to tell us that a person has to make himself like a midbar, like a desert, and to an extent that we have to explain. And I'll add my own thought, as Sinai is Har Sinai, the humblest mountain in the vicinity. He has to be humble. He has to be simple. He has to be modest. If he has these elements, these midos, then he has the material, the fabric, the wherewithal to become a great Torah scholar. but you have to compare yourself. You have to allow yourself to live a humble and simple life and not be attracted to all of the extravagance and all of the affluence that's available. Now, we're going to talk more about it a little bit later, but that's the Medrash. So as we started saying, Parshas Bamidbar ushers in the holiday of Shavuos. Now, to really get a real global picture of all of what the Medrash is trying to impart, it's important to step back and listen to what I'm going to repeat what I mentioned in Parshas Emor from the Sefer Nesivei Shalom. The holiday of Shavuos is not a holiday independent on its own. Holiday of Shavuos is really the continuation of the holiday of Pesach with the Sfiras HaOmer in preparation for the holiday of Pesach, excuse me, holiday of Shavuos. And with that preparation, we are now prepared. In what way was the days of Sfira preparing us? And for those who remember, which I mentioned in Parshas Emor, we know that the period was 49 days, helping them get out of the 49 levels of Tumah, of impurity. It was a preparatory step and was Hachana for Kabbalah HaTorah. And I said another explanation, as the Nesiva Shalom brought down then, that the days of Sfira, and I'll redo the text, Shehi Hachana L'chaka Shavuot or Kabbalah HaTorah, is preparation for the holiday of Shavuot and for Kabbalah HaTorah. And he brings down from the great tzaddik, Reb Chaim Vital, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha, that this is a period that we have to be metayer, we have to purify our midos, our character traits, in order to make us a vessel that can incorporate, that can contain the Kedusha of Kabbalah HaTorah. As he continues on, Ki kol oid Yehudi eini metaha midosav, as long as a Jew is not going to purify his midos, his character traits, eini yochel lekabel haTorah Kedusha, is incapable of being mekabel the Holy Torah. Ve'ein haTorah yecholah lishos b'kirbo. He cannot have the Torah reside in him. I mentioned that before. So now getting back to what we started saying, therefore, in order to be able to be privileged for the Kabbalah HaTorah, it's very important to understand that our preparation for Midos Tovos is fundamental in the preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah. And therefore, the midos that would bring Klal Yisrael to that level of hachana, for that level of preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah, was the midah of being anava, humility, humble. And that's what the Medrash was saying. The Medrash is saying, Misha eini oisei atzmo kemidbar hefker, person doesn't make himself like a desert. The midah, simple. He's trying to live a simple life. Then ain't yochel liknos es hachochma v'hatayra. He can't. He doesn't have the wherewithal. And therefore, it's problematic. And therefore, the measure is telling us that we have to work on our midas of anava, of humility. And therefore, that will help us acquire the holiness of Torah. My Rosh Yeshiva continues on and explains the necessity of over here that shiftless, being humble, is a very, very important ingredient in being mekabel the Torah. But then you can ask a simple question. You can ask, humility, simple. The Jewish people saw the Malachi HaShoresh. There was 220,000 malachim all lined up in formation with flags and with such royalty and such perfection and so organized that their hearts soared and were lifted up and said, "We want to be like them." Well, how do you explain that to be humble? You want to be like the malachim, you want to go look like them, and you want to be like them. What was the meaning behind that feeling? If we're supposed to be humble and simple and modest and not look to stand out, so to say, then what was this medrash that tells us that they saw the malachim in such a grandeur setup that they aspired for that? And let's make it even more difficult. The Medrash says when they saw this and they aspired and they had a taiva, a desire to want to be treated like the malachim with such honor and such prestige, Hashem responds and says, "Omar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, manes avisem lasis de golem chayechem she'ani memala mish'aliseichem. I see you have a taiva to want to be like the malachim who are in formation with the golem with flags. I promise you, you will also be able to set yourself up in formation and with flags." Miyad hodiah HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisem Yisrael v'omar l'Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Tell the Jewish people that they are going to be set up in camps and with flags and in the formation that they have so desired." So apparently, there seems to be a contradiction. From one point of view, we see Bamidbar to be like Hefker, low, humble, modest, lowly spirited. Not attracted to all the conveniences, and here you want to be like malachim. So Rosh Hashiva answers, it's not a question at all. When you're dealing with ruchnius, when you're dealing with spirituality, then there is an inyan, there is a mitzvah to want to aspire and to have a desire to imitate and emulate the malachim if you were able to. There's a pasuk that says in Divrei Hayamim, Perik Zayin, pasuk Vav, "Vayigba libo b'darkei Hashem," and he raised his heart in the ways of Hashem. To raise your heart with Yirat Shamayim is an honor, is a mitzvah, and you should aspire to want to raise yourself. It's not gaiva. That kind of gaiva, that kind of haughtiness, that kind of spirit, uplifted spirit, is a mitzvah. And we're supposed to aspire to that kind of feeling. When you do a mitzvah and you feel good about the mitzvah, whether it's holding an expensive lulav and esrog, and you feel it's a beautiful specimen, it's a beautiful mitzvah. Whether you're lighting a beautiful menorah, buying a beautiful pair of Arab rakanfas, tzitzis, or a talis, and you feel good about it, you feel lifted of it. What's wrong? You feel lifted about sitting around your Pesach Seder, and you feel lifted with the inspiration of the Seder night. There's nothing wrong with that. That is not what the Torah meant when the Torah talked about being humble and simple as a midbar. When the Torah mentioned that, it was referring to gashmius, mundane, simple, physical living in this world. We shouldn't have to attract ourselves, and we shouldn't have to fill ourselves up with all of of the extras and the excesses. We should try to live a more simple and plain life, and with that, we would be able to make a Kiddush Hashem. We were able to learn Torah with a peace of mind. We'll be able to hone our midos, our personality traits, our behavior bein adam lechaveray, between man and his friend. We'll be able to be a kli, a vessel, to learn Torah with menuchas hanefesh, with peace of mind, and with joy and simcha. Yes, it all depends how you're reading the Mishnah, reading the Medrash. When you're reading the Medrash, it's referring to gashmias. Physical pleasures should be played down. And if you can, you are on the road, the runway, to aspiring to greatness and to holiness. And whenever we're doing mitzvahs that have to do with wealth, you could easily be turned into holy things if it's done with Shem Shemayim. The Torah is not telling you to go ahead and live as a pauper. The Torah is telling you that you should need less things in order to be able to aspire to greatness. But does the Torah not want us to live a comfortable and affluent life? Of course the Torah would allow us to. After all, don't we make this, we say a Yehirat Zon on Rosh Chodesh, we say, Vatitein Lanu, give us Chayim Shal Oysha V'Chavayt. Remember, we have that Yehirat Zon and Birchas HaChodesh every month. We bless the new month. Here we always say, Hashem, give us a life of wealth and honor. What is that supposed to mean? Isn't that the antithesis, what I just said, to be a humble person and to be like a midbar, like a desert? No. What does that mean? It means the kavana, the thought behind that prayer is that in order to honor Klal Yisrael, in order to be able to use your affluence, the Shem Shemayim, for Kiddush Hashem, then that is part of the Yehirat Zon. You're asking Hashem for Oysha V'Chavayt, because you're going to use it for L'Shem Shemayim. You'll use it to support Torah. You'll use it to help yeshivas. You'll use it to support charities such as Bikur Cholem and other needy causes where the community is very often financially strapped. And you use your affluence, you use your tzedakah and your financial capabilities to help. And it doesn't come into conflict with the midbar and being heavy, because if your focus is to live humbly and simply, you can have the affluence too. But you're not living for the affluence. You're living for the Torah. That's my Rosh Hashiva explained. So the anava that we talked about, to be kemidbar hefker, is really in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And the Sefer Chochmas Musa from Reb Chaim Shlomo Levitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his Maimon Chol Beis, which says, Ki ish echa b'lev echa, brings down that with the mitos, with the preparation, the Jewish people were then able to become prepared for the Kabbalah Satorah ki ish echad ubalev echad, like one person and like with one heart. What is that supposed to mean? So he quotes of the famous pasuk Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Hahor, the Jewish people, they're camped Negan Hahor. Right away, Rashi explains why he does it say Vayichan. I should have said Vayichanu. And plural, because there was a whole group of people, but it says Vayichan, and he came. Rashi says, Ki ish echod b'lev echod, like one person, like with one heart. that this is how the Bnei Yisrael prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore, and there was no hate, there was no strife, there was no jealousy, there was no bickering, there was no machlokes, there's no arguing, there was peace, harmony through the entire Bnei Yisrael at Kabbalah Satorah. And the preparation, like I mentioned before, from the Siva Shalom, of the Sfiras HaOmer days, in preparation for the great, grandest wedding ceremony, which I mentioned last time in the Parshas Emor, the greatest wedding ceremony ever to be in mankind, they prepared themselves till they reached the point, Ki Ish Echad Bulev Echad, like one man with one heart. And that came about through their midos tovos, and ultimately with another, with humility, that there was, each person was able to interact with each other, and Hashem was exceedingly, exceedingly pleased. And therefore, we know that Jewish people were shishim riboy, there were 600,000 Jews. But in the eyes of Hashem, it was like one person. When they received the Torah, it was like ish echad and lev echad. The Rosh Yeshiva and the Mir, the Rosh Yeshiva from the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, goes to explain further, though. But it really didn't stop at Har Sinai. This concept of their ish echad continued on during the holiday, during the episode, I should say, of Purim, where we know that the Zman of Matan Torah was not yet complete. It had to continue on during the story of Purim, because we know the famous Gemara that says, Vayisatsu betachtes ha'hor, the Jewish people were beneath the mountain. Amrav Dimi, I'm quoting Gemara and Shabbos, Amrav Dimi bar Chama bar Chasa, Avdimi, the son of Chama, the son of Chasa, said, "Malamed it taught us shekafa akodesh baruch hu aleim as har kegigus, that Hashem hovered over the heads of Klal Yisrael with a mountain like a pot. It was over their heads. Va'omar lahem, he said to them, 'Ematem makablam es haTorah mutav, if you'll accept the Torah, then it'll be fine.' There will be your burial place." Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov said, "Mikan modor rabbi l'yaraisa." There's a very famous announcement to be made about the Torah. Omar Rava, afal pi kein hadar kiblua b'mei Achashverosh. They accepted the Torah anew, again, at the time of Achashverosh, as it says, "Dichsiv kimu v'kiblo ha'yehudim." It says that the Jewish people were accepted the Torah, and at the time of Purim, kimu mashikiblu kavar. They accepted what they accepted before. So the event of Har Sinai extended itself to the story of Purim, where in the case of Har Sinai, their complete acceptance was in Torah Shebiksav, and they were lacking in the acceptance of Torah Shebalpeh, and then later on, their complete acceptance at the time of Purim was Torah Shebalpeh. And that also came about only when the complete Jewish, the Jewish people were complete, Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad, when they were all together as one. And therefore, this explains to us the role of the midos of preparing for Kabbalah Satorah had on the Jewish people, and it culminated with them being anovim, humble, modest people. The Bir Mechokek, that's written by the Tolda Rosh Yeshiva, Chaim Mordechai Katz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, explains in his Sefer a very interesting aspect of this medrash, the medrash that says that you should make yourself hefker, and you should live simply and modestly. He explains, well, there's an interesting Pirkei Avos that most of us are familiar with that talks about the Torah. The Torah says, I should say, the Pirkei Avos states in Avos Perek Vav Mishnah Dalid, Kachi Daka Shel Torah. This is the path of Torah. Paz B'melach Teichel. Bread should be eaten with salt. Umayim B'mesura Tishta. And water drunk with a measurement. V'ala Oret Tishan. And one should sleep on the ground. V'chayi Tzah Tichya. One should live a life of pain. Ubetera ata omel, and you should strive to work in Torah. V'mata osa kein ashrecha v'teiruch. If you do this, ashrecha v'teiruch, you'll be happy to you v'teiruch. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'teiruch ba'olam haba. It'll be good for you in this world, and it will be good for you in Olam Haba. This is mentioned in the Pirkei Avos. Rashi, now this is the Rosh Hashiva's bringing down Rashi's explanation. It's a kind of a very difficult brisa to explain. We're supposed to simply just be on the ground, eat bread with salt, and live a life of misery. What is the intent of the Mishnah, of the Braisa? Explains Rashi that it means it could even talking about a rich man, that even if a person is wealthy and he has all the extravagance and all of the conveniences and everything that he feels that has raised his life and made his life comfortable, should, if he wants to grow in Torah, his attitude should be that the conveniences and all of the affluence that he has should not be in his way. He has to still say to himself, even if I didn't have all of these conveniences, even if it meant just like the Perek in the Pirkei Avos says, simple. If it's as simple as says, like it says, Akis Shel Teiras, Pas B'Melech, bread with salt you should eat, U'mayim B'Mesura Tishta, and drink water with a measure. If that's all it meant, in other words, if I had, even though I'm wealthy, but if I had to just drink water and to eat bread, I would be satisfied with that, because what's more important to me is my learning and my strive for greatness in Torah Yir Shamayim, and not the affluence and the blessing that I have, that I've been blessed with so much physical material wealth. That's what Rashi is explaining. You can have all the wealth, but it shouldn't dominate your life. It shouldn't capture and control your life. Like you can explain it by saying, who is in the driver's seat? Is it my life of affluence, in my life of pleasures, and the other part of me that I'm learning a little here, a little there, is the passenger? Or in the driver's seat is the Yetzer Tov, who is telling me learn and do mitzvahs and observe as much as you can. And I have, Baruch Hashem, and the affluence is a passenger. It's coming along for the ride. That's what you have to ask yourself. And that's what Rashi is explaining over here. Rashi is explaining that you could have all the affluence, But you have to know what's in control. What is in control? And this it will explain the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, excuse me, I meant the Medrash says, when the Medrash says, Kol mi she'eni oisa asma kemidbar hefka, eni yochel liknas es ha'chokma v'teira, as only if you're not going to make yourself hefka like an anav, like a humble person, then you can't acquire the Torah. Because your mind is preoccupied with gashmias, with physical pleasures. You could be a wealthy man and still be completely captivated with learning Torah. And it's not a contradiction. If Hashem blessed you with wealth, if Hashem blessed you with materialism, use it for the right thing. Use it to make a Kiddush Hashem, but also use it to grow and expand your knowledge and your capabilities of Torah learning. And if you approach it in that way, then it's a whole different story. Then you are preparing for Kabbalah HaTorah. It's the attitude that makes the difference. We know Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was one of the wealthiest Jews in the world, but he was able to control himself and didn't use the wealth to captivate himself and to go ahead and be its slave. He used his wealth to bring all the Talmidei Chacham of his generation together, and he made the Mishnayos what we have today because of his wealth. We have today the Mishnayos because of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, because of his wealth. You understand? This is using the wealth, the affluence, and the materialism in a positive way. Now, of course, no one's comparing ourselves to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but the message is the same. Who is in the driver's seat? Is it the Yetzer Hara, who is telling you to live with a materialistic attitude, and you'll take the Torah viewpoint or the Torah lifestyle as a passenger? Or no, the Torah is the driver. He's in the driver's seat, and the affluent is going for a ride. I remember a beautiful story of Rabbi Aryeh Levine. Rabbi Aryeh Levine was a famous tzaddik in Yerushalayim. He was known as the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. I read this story actually to my students a year or two ago, I believe. And he would always spend time in with his Rebbe, Rabbi Meltzer, and his Rosh Yeshiva. And later, Rabbi Aryeh was got older, and his Rosh Yeshiva lived in Eretz Yisrael. So Rosh Yeshiva always enjoyed inviting Rabbi Aryeh to his house Friday night. And very often he would reminisce about how was a good old age, or good old days in yeshiva life. So Rabbi Meltzer said over to him, so tell me, where did you eat during the week? Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, that the boys in those days didn't have a cafeteria. They didn't have a lunchroom where they ate. The boys had to go eat. And he said that in Yiddish it was called how to eat teg. That means every day they would eat in another house. And if they were fortunate, they would eat by a wealthy person or sometimes by a poor person. So he ended up saying, okay, he started counting which days of the week. He says, one Sunday, Shabbos I had here, Sunday I had there, Monday I had there. And he counted five balabatim, five people. So the Meltzer says, not bad. But there are 7 days a week. Where did you eat the other 2 days? Aryeh Levine kept quiet. Aryeh didn't say a word. The Rosh Yeshiva said, what do you mean? where did you eat the other 2 days of the week? He had no choice, but he had to tell the Rosh Yeshiva, I didn't eat anywhere at all. But don't worry, Rebbe, don't worry. Those were my 2 best days of the week of my learning Torah. I was completely enveloped in my learning, and I had no interruptions. I was not disturbed. I was so pleased. The Rosh Yeshiva says, very interesting. 2 days a week, you didn't eat. You fasted. Very interesting. He bid him good Shabbos, and Rabbi went home to his family. 2 in the morning, Rebbetzin Meltzer knocks on the door. He knocks, she knocks, wakes up the whole family, Rabbi's family. He says, the Rebbetzin is shaking at the door. Please tell Rabbi Aryeh to get up. The Rosh Yeshiva is walking back and forth in the room, rubbing his hands and crying and saying, what did I do to my Talmud? What did I do to my Talmud? I was his Rosh Yeshiva, and for 2 days a week, for 3 years, he had no place to eat, and I didn't know what's going to happen with me. How am I going to face the heavenly court? At that point, Rabbi woke up, and he heard there was such a commotion. He asked the Rebbetzin, what happened? And she repeats the story. She said, please get dressed and come to the Rosh Yeshiva right now. He is not himself. He's beside himself. He gets dressed, walks to the house, middle of the night, and he sees the Rosh Yeshiva very, very distressed. He's walking back and forth, and when he sees Rabbi Aryeh, he gives a shy, Rabbi Aryeh, look what I've done to you. How am I going to face the heavenly throne, having not fed my Talmud like you? Rosh Yeshiva, you didn't know. That was not your fault. I want to. The Rosh Yeshiva said, I don't want to hear that. It was my responsibility to see that you had a place where to eat. Please forgive me. The Rosh Yeshiva begged Rabbi Aryeh. Rabbi said, you didn't do anything wrong. No. Rosh Yeshiva said, you must be meichel me. Rabbi Aryeh said, I'm meichel you. When the Rosh Yeshiva heard that, Rabbi Meltzer heard that, he said, thank you. Now I can go to sleep. This was Friday night in the middle of the night. The point I want to bring out with this story is that the attitude we have for Torah learning makes a world of a difference of how we approach Torah. How we are going to approach the holiday of Shavuos. Is holiday of Shavuos a holiday that is celebrated only with flowers, blintzes, cheesecake, and other milchtika delicacies? Or the holiday of Shavuos is a holiday where we're connecting with the Torah, with Hashem, and with our neshama. And we are connecting all together and making this holiday the Rosh Hashanah of Limud HaTorah of the entire year. It's the attitude that counts. We mentioned tonight about preparation for the Shavuos holiday, which was mentioned by Nesiva Shalom. We mentioned that we are to be prepared with our Midas Tovos up to the point where we are anavim, we are humble and simple, so that there is no strife and there is no jealousy between any one of us. We're all ish echad, belev echad. And we talk about the greatness of being a Torah Jew and a Torah scholar at the same time, while we have affluence, as long as we don't make that get to our heads. We could be affluent and we could be simple. we could have what we need, and we will train ourselves to learn Torah even if we don't have what we need. But it's the attitude that makes a difference. As we approach the holiday of Shavuos, may we go to the holiday of Shavuos with renewed excitement and with renewed vigor and determination to make our learning Torah our goal in life, in our Simchas HaChayim, that will forever be in our lives, in our hearts, not only in Shavuos, but every day of the year. Have a wonderful week. Chag Sameach. We're not going to be meeting next week because it's going to be the Shavuos holiday, so in Yetz Hashem we'll meet the week after, Be'ez HaShem, on Monday. Before I hang up, my wife just told me that she got a call from Eretz Yisrael that things are very bad there, and we should all please say some Tehillim privately, because apparently there this the Arab uprising right now is perhaps Chas v'Shalom. I don't want to say what has done a lot of damage in Yerushalayim or all over. So please bear in mind to say Tehillim. Kol Tov, a good Tevach, and a happy Chag Sameach. Be well.